And you may be seated. We're going to start this morning with a very familiar passage of Scripture in the book of Proverbs, the third chapter, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And before we begin, I want to make sure that I stop and pray for Virginia. So let's do that. Father, I pray for Miss Virginia. We thank you for Fairfax Hospital, for the good people that work there and take care of others in their difficulties. And I pray that you'd help Miss Virginia to improve, and that the treatments would be helpful, and that you would help her to be on the road to recovery quickly. Pray for Mr. Frank, that you would continue to give him strength for the journey as he ministers to so many in so many places, but especially at this moment to his precious wife, and give him the strength to go back and forth and do what needs to be done and to be a help and blessing to her. Pray for Mrs. Bishop's mom this morning, Miss Demery, that you'd help her, and that Mrs. Bishop's presence there in her home would be a help to her and encourage her on the journey that we call life. We pray for the Lopez family, for Miss Kim, and the passing of Miss Debbie, and pray that you give grace to the family, and that we'd be a blessing to them. Now, Father, we come to you this morning. Love you, and we love your word, and pray that you would do a work in our hearts this morning and help us to understand you a little bit better. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We're in Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 5 and 6. And then we're going to travel to some other places in God's Word. But this is where we're going to start. And the text, and a classic text, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So would you read that with me? You're there in the scripture. We'll let you peek. If you don't have it memorized, these are two good verses to memorize. And here we go. Ready? Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There are a lot of people that say, I trust in the Lord, but not with all of their heart. There are lots of people that would say, yes, I look at the Bible for my help. But they, when it comes to certain things, they would lean on their own understanding. If you ask a typical Christian, do you acknowledge God? They would say, well, sure I do. And the Bible command, the Bible instruction in this passage, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. That he shall direct thy path, that God knows that you've got a plan for your life. I tell people that God's word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. But it does not do any good for the Bible to illuminate your path if you're not going to walk in it. There's a lot of people, again, acknowledge God, but just not in all their way. It's Sunday, right? You're here, so I'm not picking on you. But there will be people this morning that choose not to be in church. And they choose that because they don't let God lead them in every way. They don't acknowledge him. I don't need to be in church. It's not important. There are those that will say that, and they will not be here today. Some have called me and said, Pastor, I'm not going to be there today because I have a family reunion, got to go fishing, go into the beach, and go into wherever. They're just not going to, and I'm not talking about missing here and then being in church somewhere else. I'm just talking about they're just not there at all. They're just done for the day. And say, oh, Pastor, I'm going hunting. And you can worship the Lord in the woods just as much as you can in church. And I tell them, God tells me, God's word tells me, not to be like you. Not to be like you. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Some people do that. What are they doing? They are not acknowledging God in all their ways. They are not allowing God to direct their path. Why don't we trust in the Lord? Now, this is my, if you will, my annual post-election sermon. Because after an election and people are inaugurated and people are in office, people have a tendency to be in two extremes. They're happy because their person got in office, or they're depressed because their person didn't get into office. And they go through the next 4 years. Some are elated and some are absolutely depressed. I say, well, preacher, what is your feeling on the election? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, not him, Him, not the person in the Oval Office, Him, not the persons in the Supreme Court, Him, not the person in the Virginia government building over here. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He, not He, not them, not those, but He shall direct thy paths. But why don't we do that? I mean, we know that. And this is a pretty classic passage of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, all. Lean not unto thine own understanding. It just seems to me that it should be. No, that's not biblical. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. And that's what we want. We want God to direct our path. But why don't we do that? It's a spiritual discipline. It's one of those spiritual disciplines that we talk about. Now we're in the new year, and what do people do in new year? They get a health club membership. And they're going to be disciplined, they're going to go down there, and they're going to exercise, and they're going to have better health this year, and they get that membership, and they're good for about, I don't know, a week. And then it's all over, and they're done. And they got a membership for the next 11 months, and they're not visiting it at all. The health clubs know that. They absolutely do. They'll tell their members, take January off. But in February, we'll be back to normal. The gym over in Washington, D.C., that said, during the month of January, it's so bad, during the month of January, they will take no new memberships. None. You want to join? You got to come in February. You can join in November, but you are not joining in January. Why? Because you clutter up the gym, and the people that are serious about working out can't get in. And it's too crowded. So, and you're not coming back in February, and you hurt our members. So, no. If you're serious about it, then come join in February. But you cannot join January 1st. They won't allow it. Why? Because people aren't disciplined. Why don't we trust in the Lord with all of our heart? Because we're not disciplined. What is a spiritual discipline? Part of it is education. Part of it is instruction. Part of it is cultivation. Part of it is improvement, discipline, instruction, and government, comprehending and practicing. You see those words, they go together. You look up the definition, and you'll find that it is not just one thing. It is not just knowledge, it is practicing that knowledge. We refer to military discipline. Now we know the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and they got all these rules, and they have a drill sergeant out there. But what do they make them do? They drill them. They have the rules, they have the instruction, and they have the motivator, the drill instructor. And he gets up in the morning, get up, make your beds, hit the floor, clean, march. And they do it over and over and over again. Why? Until it becomes second nature. So what do we need to do with God's Word? If we're going to be disciplined, militarily, spiritually, trust in the Lord in everything, in all things. I mentioned this last Sunday evening, and if I'm going to be pushed in an area, it is going to be in an area by someone who does not want to follow God's Word in all their ways. And so they'll come to me, and this week no exception, somebody come to me and say, hey, Pastor, what about... It's just not biblical. This is what God's Word says, but this is what I want to do. Why are you coming to me? I'm the preacher, right? That's the preacher. We hold up God's Word. And you should expect, when you come to the pastor, especially the Baptist preacher, that he is going to follow the Word of God. Even if there's drums beating in the background, a guy with a sword slashing at your hands, do you have permanent, disfigurative scars on the back of your hand? That's our heritage. And that's the commitment that we should have, that discipline, to not just knowing God's Word, but following it. So do you trust in the Lord? Do you trust in the Lord with all your heart? Do you lean on God's understanding or on your own? Do you acknowledge God in every single decision that you make? You say, well, sure, I do. Do you? No, I don't. This is convicting. Why? I fight it just like you fight it. I have things to do, place to go, people to see. And I get in the car, and the sign on the side of the road says 55. Do you know anybody on the Beltway that's doing 55? If they are, they're in your lane, and you want to go faster, and you're mad at them. Right? Man, I have to look down at the speedometer. I say, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Got to bring it back into compliance. It is not easy. Why? It's just not. I was taking Mrs. Bishop to the airport on Thursday, and we were in the exit lane for Route 1 to go up to the airport, and all my people with Maryland tags stopped driving on the shoulder. We couldn't get to the exit lane. Now, because all the Maryland drivers trying to get back to Maryland are in the exit lane trying to get ahead of everybody else from Maryland who is trying to do the right thing, and it's absolutely aggravating that we can't get to the airport because you're cluttering up the lane that says right turn only. So what do you want to do? I want to run them off the road. Right? I do. And Miss Bishop will tell you, I said, people, this is an exit lane. This is not a merge lane. Go straight. And there are people honking their horns. And while I'm sitting there in the lane waiting, they're driving up the shoulder to get ahead of the people, to sit in the lane. I'm just saying, those frustrations that you have, I have them. What do you want to do? I want to drive up the shoulder. Do you? No. No. Why? We're supposed to acknowledge God in all our ways. And traffic is just one of them. And you got family responsibilities and work responsibilities. And April 15th will be my annual don't cheat on your taxes message. Why? Because we don't acknowledge God in all of our ways. Do you acknowledge God in all your ways? Is God directing your paths? If you're driving... This is just amazing to me. So there's an article in the paper, I don't remember which paper, and it's not in my outline, I'm going to plan on saying this. There's an article that's talking about Maryland, apparently is upping the fines for speed camera violations. Don't speed in Maryland. And this one legislator, they interviewed him, and he said, I am not typically in favor of raising the fines. He said, this is what he said. Because everybody goes 12 miles an hour over the speed limit, 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah. And so to punish people that are going 12 miles an hour over the speed limit and get caught by a camera just doesn't seem right. He said, but then I'm looking down the list, and he said, they're really raising the fine for people going 40 miles an hour over the speed limit. Really? Yeah. He said, and I want to say it was like $5,000. If it's 55, there are people going 95 miles an hour. Yeah? Yeah, wow. Wow. So discipline, the textbook definition is to be subject to laws. Following God is a spiritual discipline. To follow the laws that don't contradict with God's Word. You can search, but I don't think there's anything in God's Word that says, thou shalt drive thy car like a maniac. I don't think there's anything in there. And thou canst ignore the signs on the road. Thou needest not exit in an exit lane. Thou needest not worry about driving on the shoulder. God doesn't give you permission to do that. Those laws are not in conflict with God's Word. Now, killing babies are. And you want to kill babies? That's contrary to God's Word. Alcohol. There's lots of things that are contrary to God's Word. But there are lots of laws that are not contrary to God's Word. That we just shrug our shoulders and drive like a maniac. Some do. Some do. Trust in the Lord with all their heart. And lean not unto their own understanding. But many, and I'm talking about Christians, many Christians do not. Some do and some don't. This is not a new... Turn with me, we're in Proverbs. Let's go to Psalm 20. Book of Psalms, the 20th Psalm, singular, the 5th verse. Psalm 20. Verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. And again, think of a military group, and they've got their banner, their colors, their regiment, so you can look on the battlefield, you know who's where. Would you say these people are believers? I would say that they are. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I... that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his hand. Look at the next verse. Some trust in chariots, military might. Some in horses, speed in battle. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. King David, a perfect man? Oh, seriously? No, he's not a perfect man. He had an affair with Bathsheba. His son Absalom didn't do a good job raising him. Absalom had a problem, and he ignored his problem for years until it resulted in a coup on the throne. So he's not a perfect guy, and he struggled with living the Christian life, if you'll let me use that term. But God referred to him as a man after his own heart. Why is that? What is that? I want to be a man or woman after God's own heart. What does that look like? That means when you get in your car and your speed limit, your speedometer is over the limit, you are convicted and you dial it back in. That means when everybody's running up the shoulder and you're tempted, well, everybody else is doing it, right? You don't do that. When everybody else is cheating on their taxes, you don't do that. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we're Christians, and we should trust in the Lord. We should be a man like King David, who had an unwavering, he demonstrated an unwavering trust in the Lord. Now, he's the king, and kings have a tendency to trust in horses and chariots, military might. But David said, I will I will not allow myself to do that. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Then was a problem. Today it's a problem. What do people do? So here's some names in history. You look up the 10 top military leaders, and you'll find these names. Saladin, Genghis Khan, Julius Caesar, David IV of Russia, George Patton said of him, he had tactical decisions and boldness on the battlefield that is studied today. Rommel, Soult, Magnus, who we know as Alexander the Great. Napoleon Bonaparte, known for his tactical maneuvers and his brilliance on the battlefield. And so here we are in 2025, and we want a strong military because our hope for America is to be strong on the battlefield, right? Some do. You say, preacher, is your hope in the military? You know, I love the military. I salute the flag. I'm glad. I believe in peace through strength. But I'm just going to trust in the Lord. I'm thankful for the military, but you better not put your hope on the latest guy that's in charge of the military. Some do. It's election time, right? New administration. Everybody got their hopes on the guy who's going to lead the troops in the Pentagon. As you get involved in that, nah. Who's the guy? I don't know. What's he do? I don't know. Well, you should know. Hey, listen, nobody's calling me for a vote. The president's not calling me on the phone and say, hey, preacher, bishop, what do you think about this nomination? I ain't not calling me. You're not going to call me. So what are you going to do? I'm going to go to the hospital and go see Virginia. You're going to go to the Alexandria Hospital and make a visit up there. I'm going to go out on Saturday and knock on doors. I'm going to go on Tuesday with Rick, and we're going to go to Krispy Kreme. We're going to pass out some gospel tracts and tell some people about Jesus. We're going to walk up to the lady, Miss Pam, who's waiting us, and say, Miss Pam, we're going to pray for you in just a minute. Do you have any prayer requests? We're going to keep walking with the Lord. Regardless of who is in the White House, who's on the Supreme Court, who's leading the Pentagon, and all the other stuff. Some trust in chariots and horses. Some trust in their armed forces and nuclear weapons. But we will trust in the name of the Lord. Write this reference down, Isaiah 31:1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and trust in their alliances. Now, I'm not against alliances. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. And there's the rub. So let's put this down right where we live. Some don't trust in the Lord because they've got mom and dad's bankroll. You got a money problem? Who do you call? You call on God or do you call on mom and dad? Young people would look at you and go, I call on mom and dad. And there's the rub. We don't trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We lean on our own understanding. We don't ask God for help. It's easy to look at the military and say, they should ask God for help. It's easy to look at the president and administration and say, they should look to God for help. But then we don't. We call our parents. We call the preacher. We call the deacons. We call everybody but the Lord. Cheat on a test, but not study and ask the Lord to help us in our study and our remembering. It goes on and on and on. We trust in a political party, a Supreme Court, a powerful military. And again, I'm not minimizing the importance of that, but our trust should be in the Lord. Noah's Ark, you were familiar with that. And back in 1960, a man in Sweden area built, got his Bible out, and he got the dimensions out, and he built two arcs to the actual dimensions. You think it's in Kentucky, but long before Kentucky, 1960, there were two full-size replicas of an ark that were built by a carpenter builder in Sweden, that region up to the north. And he was not sure that they would float, so he built them on barges. And in 2010, a fella bought one for $3.7 million. I mean, it's a lot of board feet of lumber, right? And so he takes this full-size replica of the Ark that is on a barge, and he says, you know what, it doesn't have a motor on it. Of course, the Ark didn't have a motor, and he built it to specs. It was carried on the water. And he said, I'm going to take this thing for a conversation starter to different ports around the world. So he took it from wherever he bought it, wherever the auction was, and he towed it down to England, and it sat in the harbor for a month. And then at the end of the month, or 2 months, he got tugboats and said, okay, now we're going to pull this thing to the next spot. And the England government said, wait a minute. Where are your fire extinguishers? Well, we don't have fire extinguishers. It's not a boat. Well, the boats were required to have it. It's a barge. It doesn't qualify. Where's your registration? So they started going down all these lists of things that they didn't have. I just had to laugh when I read the article, because it just reminds me of what probably went on in Genesis. And the local zoning officials came up and said, what are you building? Where's your permit? Where's your fire extinguishers? Where's your stuff? And listen, in the end, it's all going to burn up. And in the end, Noah in the ark was saved. And in the end, it wasn't the government officials with the permitting process that made it through. What are you saying? Man, our trust just ought to be in the Lord. Some trust in the Lord. King Solomon, it is said, had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses. He had chariot cities. He is not known as a man after God's own heart. David was. Pharaohs of Egypt, King Sennacherib, they had large armies. And you study God's word, and for time we'll not go into them this morning. But you study just those two armies, and you'll find they had superior armor, superior chariots, superior horses, and they lost. Egypt chased Israel. Who destroyed them? God did. Sennacherib and his armies, they were on the battlefield, a perfect place to do battle. And they knew they had the tactical advantage over Israel. And what happened? God defeated them. God did. David was a courageous warrior, but David knew to trust in the Lord. David recognized military genius. He had Ahithophel. And it was said of Ahithophel that when it came to battlefield, just interesting, that Ahithophel is not listed in the top 10 historical names of brilliance on the battlefield. But he should be. David said of Ahithophel, it was said of Ahithophel, when he went to battle, it was if he could read the very oracles of God, that he could see how it was going to play out. And when Absalom lodged the coup against his father, Ahithophel joined the rebellion, David knew that he was in deep trouble. Because Ahithophel was a military genius. And he was now on the other side. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 31. One told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. The king, who's got chariots and horses, but trusted in the Lord. So what's the balance? David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Who had the victory? David did. Who had the military genius? Absalom did. Who should have won? Absalom should have won with Ahithophel. But who carried the day? God did. Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. But we should trust in the Lord. Listen, I am thankful for Fairfax Hospital and what they do. I am thankful for our doctors and what they do. But they are not God. Let's put it back where we live. Sometimes when we feel bad, we don't call on God. We call 911. We put our trust in Fairfax County Emergency Medical Services and not in the Lord. We put our trust in a doctor in a hospital. And again, I'm thankful for what they do. But when this preacher comes and I pray for you, I say, Lord, I'm thankful for the doctors. I'm for what they do. I pray that you'd help them to give understanding to be able to help this person. But Lord, we would be remiss. It would be evil if we did not come to you, the great physician, the healer, the designer of the building, of this building, this tabernacle, and ask you to help us. Thankful for them, but I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Many trust in human strength. They trust in material possession. They trust in intelligence, but they do not trust in the Lord. They trust in politics and elections. They assume a particular party or candidate is going to usher the world into utopia. This book tells me that we're not ending in utopia. We're ending with an antichrist in a world that is against God. So what are you going to do in the meantime? I'm going to trust in the Lord with all of my heart and lean not into my own understanding. People trust in all kinds of things. An interesting article out of London. This lady, she didn't have a boyfriend. And so at 12:15 in the morning, she went to the window and she prayed for an alien encounter. And there outside of her window was a flying saucer. And it took her up. And she saw an alien. And one of the aliens was the most wonderful alien man she had ever met in her entire existence. And she said, I am in love. And then she had to go back down to Earth. What was the alien's name? I didn't ask him. Like, really?
But here's the thing. 7,200 people a year claim to have alien boyfriend encounters? What do you think? Cuckoo? I know, I'm just thinking. Yeah. Listen, I hope it's not something from church. Trust in the Lord. But what do we do? Do we come to the altar and say, you know, Lord, I'm single and I need a man, I need a woman. No, we go to a dating app. We don't need God. We have a dating app. You get in your car and say, oh, Lord, I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to go to a certain place. Make sure, Lord, I need your direction. I need your help. No, we don't pray anymore. We go, Siri, get directions to. We push a button. We don't need God. I mean, it's easy for us to say, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. We'll trust in the Lord. But do you trust in the Lord in your dating life? Do you trust in the Lord in your mapping life, in simple directions? The truth of the matter, we don't ask. And we should. We should be the one to trust in the Lord. Adam and Eve chose self-rule. Cain killed his brother. Noah chose God. We should choose God. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in time of trouble. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Psalm 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. They were harvesting potatoes, going to a potato chip factory. And the farmer harvested this potato, it looked good, look like all the other potatoes, and sent it off the market to his potato factory. You know, they found out it was a World War I hand grenade. It looked like a potato, but it was not. Boy, you want to talk about an explosive end to a problem. Man, it looked authentic. It looked good. He sold it. Somebody bought it. Potato chip factory's going to try to cut it up. It's not going to end well. A lot of people, they look authentic. They carry a big Bible. They dress like a Christian. But when it comes to the Lord, they just kind of do their own thing. May we not be one. Father, I thank you for your grace and your goodness. I thank you for your word. I pray that we'd be a people that trust in the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here, but you don't know Christ. You've never trusted in Christ for your salvation. Raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved." Never done that. Hear and say, "Preacher, I say I'm a Christian. I say I trust in the Lord. I trust in the Lord for my salvation, but so many things in my daily life, I just kind of make my own decisions, and I need God's help. Would you pray for me? Pray for me this morning." Yes, ma'am. Okay. Let's stand to our feet, their heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I pray that you'd help us be a people that trust in you. Practice that spiritual discipline. Exercise, not just in the new year, but all year long. Help us to do that. Every head